So, Eastern Washington, the Palouse region of Eastern Washington, boasts some of the most productive wheat growing areas in the world. Yet the number of organic farms in this area are just a handful. But if we think about the uphill battle to transition to organic, particularly in this region, we have limited availability of inputs, which is generally going to mean more pests, lower yields. And even though we're effectively managing organic, we're not getting the price incentives during that three-year transition. So this study, we didn't want to focus so much on comparing organic versus conventional, but really how to get into organic and how are we going to do that from respect from weeds, building soil quality, crop productivity. We're growing, it's a wheat-based system, so crop quality is quite important. And then we wanted to think about the economics, particularly with respect to the transition phase and the certified organic phase, and knowing full well that in the transition phase, we're probably going to have to invest something here to get the most out of the certified organic phase. So farming in the Palouse has some special considerations. We have fine textured soils, sloping terrain, limited windbreaks, and that makes this area very prone to erosion. So people looking at the photo here, it's just for sale. I didn't take it, but for whoever did, you can buy it. And so it's on the web there. So with this, I thought it was important for this study that we emphasize minimizing or eliminating inversion tillage. So we have a conservation ethic there. We don't have animal manure readily available. And of course, organic fertilizers are very expensive. So we really, I was thinking that nitrogen legume-based fertilizers were, and fertility was going to be imperative. And then we had to gear the systems towards a 16 to 18 inch rainfall area zone where most of our rainfall is coming in the winter months. Okay, so we have what I have in place, and we just finished the fifth year of it, is we have 9 systems that we looked at over 5 years. In the first 3 years, the transition phase, we have the different rotations. And in the certified organic phase, we have for 2 years, and you'll notice that we have either spring wheat or winter wheat as indicator crops. Our first rotation is a conventional rotation meant to serve as a control. Baseline, no legumes. We're not expecting a lot of this, particularly with respect to yields, but really just to serve as a baseline. The second sort of thinking was 3 years of grain cropping, because we don't have the fertility, the native fertility or the manures in these systems. We wanted to use low nitrogen requirement crops, spring peas, harvested for grain. So we had those in years 1 and 3, and then winter or spring wheat in years 2. The next set of systems is just getting a little more intensive with the green manures. It's identical to the previous two systems with the exception that we have a winter pea green manure in the in year 3 prior to the certified organic spring wheat crops. And in our system, in our area, I should point out that when we grow green manure, we have to take a whole year to grow it. We can't double crop it in any way or grow it in the fall, so we sacrificed a whole year. Getting even more intensive with the green manuring, very similar to the previous two systems, except for we have green manures at the front end starting the transition, and in year 3 just prior to the certified organic, and again winter or spring wheat. I was getting not to feel so good about this rotation, but after Lori's talk, it's legume intensive, so we're right on track here. We have 3 years of green manuring, and the thinking at that time was that let's really try to build up this system. We know it's going to cost us quite a bit of money here, but hopefully the payoff will be in these 2 years and maybe even beyond. In retrospect, and I think there's some naive thinking on my part on that, but we'll bring that out. And then finally, we had a forage system. Now, forages aren't real common in this area, but alfalfa, and we did supplement this because we didn't have a great alfalfa stand with oat pea overseeded. General agronomic plan, we typically did a pre-plant rotary harrow. I'll show you a picture of that 1 to 2 times. We up seeding rates by about 20% to enhance the competitiveness of the crop and also compensate for any stand reductions from our weed control. We used standard crop varieties, but with no seed treatment. We did direct seed everything. To meet our primarily our phosphorus, potassium, and sulfur needs, we used a commercial product, BioGrow plus gypsum, and that was to provide a replacement rate of 15 pounds of phosphorus, but with that we did get 7 pounds of nitrogen. And hang on to this point here, it's very expensive. And again, this gets back to our, I didn't feel we had a readily available manure, so I didn't put manure in this system. And then in crop, 3 to 5 times rotary hoeing to control weeds. In cases before planting, if we had a lot of standing biomass, and this usually came from our wheat volunteers from the previous year, we did have to undercut this at about 2 inches with a sweep plow. We would follow this with a rotary harrow. In cases where we didn't have that biomass, the rotary harrow was generally our pre-plant weed control. This is a custom unit that Phoenix worked with us to build. It has 2 units up front and 2 units up back. It's a little bit more aggressive, but the idea with this is that we disturb the top couple inches of the soil, leave all the residues on the surface, so maintaining the conservation goal that we were looking for. Rotary hoe, we use a high residue rotary hoe, and it makes it a high residue rotary hoe as the gangs. Wheels are separated here, so they're not going to clog up with our residue. In addition, we added weight on top, usually added 400 to 800 pounds of weight, make it a bit more aggressive in our reduced tilled soils. In 1 year, I actually used this as our primary tillage as well. Didn't have to use the rotary harrow. When we had a cover crop, we mowed that down at flower. So I'd like to go talk about our first transition year. So we had spring wheat, spring peas as crops, fava beans as a green manure, and then our alfalfa oat pea mixture. And just real quick in summary, we had very low spring wheat yields. We didn't expect them to be very high. It's surprisingly good wheat control, though. I was really, given that low fertility and low competitiveness, I thought we'd have some problems there. But that was a nice surprise. Spring peas were really overrun with weeds. We had quite low grain yields. Just not nearly as competitive. And so the same rotary hoe treatments in the wheat versus the peas. Good weed control in the wheat, but not in the peas. Fava bean wasn't the best choice. It was a spring planted. I thought at the time that made sense, but it also wasn't adapted to the warmer temperatures we have. So we did eventually replace that, but we did get some biomass off that, about a ton. Our alfalfa establishment was weak, but we did compensate that with OP mixture, so we did get a harvestable component. Going on to year 2, 2004, in our control we have winter wheat. Then we have winter wheat or spring wheat following spring peas. Winter wheat or spring wheat following the fava bean, green manure. Winter pea following the fava bean green manure, and again our alfalfa system. Just want to point out the spring, early spring inorganic nitrogen. Starting to see a trend in the legume treatments to increasing that, but remember our biomass wasn't great. This isn't significant, but probably does play out later on. Gives you a picture of what some of the wheat looked like. And this is our winter wheat, and this is really our best scenario. Winter wheat following the fava bean green manure. You can see very few weeds there, pretty good stand, in contrast to our winter wheat following spring peas, where we have the wild oat that got away the previous year. This has come back to haunt us here. Not showing you pictures of the spring wheat, but typically the spring wheat was less competitive than our winter wheat, but we did have more opportunity for mechanical weed control, so it balanced out in the end. Looking at yields for the second year of the transition, winter wheat out-yielded spring wheat as we would expect. And when the winter wheat followed, or when the wheat crops followed the fava bean compared to the other crops, we generally got a yield bump here. This is just a picture of the forage. Had good forage yields in year 2 near 7 ton, and pretty good winter pea green manure that was mowed down, just over 3 tons. So getting on into year 3, this will be the last year of the transition, spring barley in our control. And I'm gonna group here the spring peas following in systems 2 and 3, the winter peas all in systems 7, 4 through 8, I'm sorry, and then alfalfa. I won't separate those data out. Early spring inorganic nitrogen. What stands out is when we had the winter pea in the previous year, we do get a bump in that spring nitrogen. Not much difference or no differences in any of the other treatments. Just a recap for 2005, the barley, very low yields. Forage did pretty well, happy with that. Our green manures did, winter pea green manure did very well, a little bit over 5 tons. Our spring pea was a complete crop failure. Insects, disease, weeds, you name it. So we mowed that in, so that effectively was green manure. Shows you a picture of our peas, and this is one of our workers, Maria, the peas about waist high. So we made it into our first year of certified organic and call this is all wheat. We did split these plots into a hard red spring and a soft white spring. I'm going to show mostly pooled data here. So spring wheat following barley in the control treatment. The spring wheat I'm going to pool in treatments 2 and 3. Pool the treatments from 2 and 4. This is the 2 years of grain cropping. 6 and 7, that's the 1 year of grain cropping, 2 years of green manure. And then our intensive green manure, 3 years of green manure, and then our forage systems. We look at inorganic nitrogen in the spring again, prior to crop establishment. See the lower levels where we didn't have the winter pea green manure, and substantially higher levels where we had the winter pea green manure or the forage crop. And this is total profile, inorganic nitrogen. Interesting where we tried to have the intensive green manure after green manure after green manure didn't really do us any good. And so this led us to believe that we're probably just having recycling going on there and not additional fixation. Either that or very large levels of losses. We also measured just earthworms at this time. And what you see there is a nice bump in earthworm populations where we had the winter pea green manure or the forage population. So a nice soil quality indicator there. And remind you too, this is all reduced till, no deep tillage here at all for any of the treatments. We look at late season biomass in the spring wheat. And in our control, even though in the previous years we had pretty good wheat control, this is starting to give out. The crop's getting really, really weak at this point, and that's making up the highest of our weeds. When we had spring peas in the rotation at any time, when those got away from us, particularly in year 1, that's still haunting us and causing a lot of our weeds. And our primary weed is wild oat here. The green manure intensive is helping that. We did have this, the 2 years of green manure, and then the 1 year, the 3 years green manure in the forage had our lowest weed levels. This gives you an example, nice picture of our best case scenario for our spring, hard red spring wheat, soft white spring wheat. Good stand, you can see relatively weed free in a direct seed system. We look at yields. Highest yields are in our forage system, then our intensive green manure, 3 years, followed by our 2 year green manure. What's interesting here is, if you recall from the previous slide, we had good fertility, but we're not getting any better yields than this treatment here. But recall we also had really high weed levels, so those weeds are coming in and not helping us at all. So after we harvested the spring wheat, we went in and did fall nitrogen. Inorganic nitrogen, because we were going to establish winter wheat. And if we look at to the 0 to 90 centimeter profile, not a big difference among the systems that I'm putting here. And this is an indicator that I've pooled the spring wheat and the winter wheat 2004 treatments. I don't know if that makes sense, but I just say everything, this would have been the two systems combined on each of those. So what I'd like to point out here is that when we had the winter pea in 2005 as a green manure, we leave a large pool of nitrogen at the deep depths that wasn't utilized for yields and didn't get utilized for our protein, which we would have expected. In these treatments, we did have 12% grain protein in our hard red wheat. Our target was 14. We had 10% protein in these, but it sort of left us baffled on why didn't it use this. It should have been down there. The roots should have been down there, and it should have been utilized at least for protein. And in contrast, in the forage system, we don't see that trend, or at least not as dramatic as we did in the green manure system. We look at the net returns, and rather grim. 5 minutes. Okay. The forage system does stay in the black. This is with 1 year of organic spring wheat at $6 a bushel. Everything else we're taking a pretty hard hit here. Winter wheat, when we had in the rotations in the excluding the control, when we had winter wheat in year two, that takes a little bit of the hit off. And what I did here in the white lines is that I assume that the BioGrow had no effect, and maybe that was a bad idea to apply it. Now, it really was replacement phosphorus. And so if we took BioGrow out of the equation from the economic standpoint, that's where the net returns would come here. But the bottom line is pretty serious losses, and this is a total for 4 years. So not a 1 year, but a total for 4 years. So organic winter wheat in 2007, you can see some of our best crops looking quite good, some weeds coming in various, but overall our wheat control is really good. At this point I was in Pennsylvania, so I didn't witness this, but my understanding is that we had a good opportunity for spring wheat control with our rotary hoe, perfect conditions, and so we were able to get on top of our weeds quite well. If we look at yields, we see our highest yields in, again, the winter pea and the forage, where we had the winter pea green manure in the third year of transition, or in the forage. Now these yields, I was asking about comparable to the region for that year, and we're about 30% off of what conventional farmers were getting at that time. Our spring wheat yields the year before, we were about 20% off of the conventional. So optimal transition system, well, the alfalfa system really does stand out, really in all respects. One issue with the alfalfa system is how are we going to supply the phosphorus for this? BioGrow is not an economic option, I don't believe, and so we need some phosphorus source for this treatment. This surprised me a bit because we did take a lot of biomass off, but there apparently was enough below ground biomass to run the system. The green manure systems, the two-year green manure, look pretty good, but not from the economic standpoint, but from all other agronomic standpoints. And so in summary, the direct seed system, the Harrow Hoe-based system, seemed feasible, so felt really good about our organic system being compatible with soil conservation efforts. Legume grass forage had a great potential. I think there was even room for improvement there. We didn't do everything right we could have. The green manure winter legume green manures look good. Winter pea did well for us, but we also played with hairy vetch and some sideline satellite studies, and that did quite well. We got that to work at 10 pounds per acre seeding rate, so a nice low seeding rate for that. Winter wheat clearly more competitive, out yielded spring wheat. Spring peas are a real problem. Really need better varieties here to make the spring peas work. Perennial weeds were an issue. In plots that started out with perennial, the bindweed and so on, it only got worse. In cases where the plots were relatively clean, our tillage regime kept them not too bad. We did play around with using goats to graze these. There's without, unless we're going to go to some very intensive tillage, you're kind of left with what do you do to control something with bindweed? And the goats just love this stuff. They actually will eat it preferentially to alfalfa. But that's obviously another management hassle. So acknowledgements, our funding sources, and our landowners, and lots of good help. And I'd like to entertain any questions. Pardon me?
Why weren't
you getting certified organic prices? Because we hadn't been 3 years into the transition. No, our third year, we still would have passed 3 calendar years of time. No, this wasn't certified. They just get certified to last year, but we had the 3 calendar years to, that was the assumption then. Heather? Yeah, we did. Relatively cheap seed, and again, if we had gotten a good alfalfa catch from the beginning, we wouldn't have needed that, so the economics of that system would have looked even better. But the first year, we got just real poor establishment. I thought that was a loss treatment, and so it really did bounce back. Well, our first rotation was with the spring wheat, winter wheat, spring barley is not uncommon. Growers there do have some legume options, but if you're using insecticides, you can keep those insects back, which keep your diseases back. And you have some herbicide options, too. So you have more choices as a conventional than you do as organic. Does that answer your question? Okay, spring wheat we would plant April-ish. A winter wheat we would plant October-ish, November-ish. Yeah, mm-hmm. So harvested in August, plant in October, November. Mm-hmm. In the winter wheat would be harvested. I'm sorry? Not technically, the winter wheat would be harvested in July or so. You have a month fallow. It doesn't rain in the summertime in this region, which is an important point. Nope, rain fed. So this soil type has a very large water holding capacity. If you get the rain, it's nice and deep. And so it is. It's run off of stored water. That's the main reason we don't have the option for double cropping with the green manure. So we lose a whole year anytime we grow green manure. Not in the Palouse region, no. And if you go more towards the Columbia Basin. Question? Okay.